Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Two outs, two on in the 10th, and a 1-2. Swing and a miss. He struck him out. Mattson threw his fastball by Ramos. He'll get the win, and the Bucs get the sweep of the Giants for the first time since 1896. The Giants get swept in a homestand of this length, and the Pirates earn their first sweep on the road since last year when they beat the White Sox. It was a 2-1 10-inning win today for the Bucs.
All right, so that was interesting. The Pirates had a road sweep of the Giants yesterday. They came into a series in San Francisco with the worst road record of any team in baseball. That would include a Rockies team that looks like they're going to lose about 140 games. That's how bad they've been away from Pittsburgh. They did it with Isaac Mattson on the mound, who pitched at Pitt and for the Washington Wild Things, which I thought was interesting because David Bednar wasn't out there and Dennis Santana weren't out there. Coincidence?
Nothing's coincidental this time of year.
We're 4 hours away from the deadline, and we have John Morosi saying things like, in all my years, a man who's fluent in six languages, by the way.
English, Italian, Spanish, French.
Japanese.
Japanese, really?
Yeah.
That's kind of a curveball.
Korean.
So the first couple I said are all like Romance Germanic languages that kind of are derivative of one another.
Yeah,
the Japanese and Korean is very impressive.
That's a flex.
He's probably a polymath of some kind. I bet you could be fluent in at least three or four if you wanted
I'm
to be.
Barely fluent in one. He said moments ago on MLB Network, in all my years of covering baseball, I've never seen relief pitchers get traded for more value. Mason Miller from Bethel Park, friend of the show, came on with us and said he was honored to be our guest after he was the best pitcher in the All-Star game, not named Paul Skeens last year.
Yep.
Was traded this afternoon to San Diego, and the number three prospect in all of baseball went back to the A's in the deal.
Leo DeVries, switch hitting high A shortstop.
18 years old. Now Miller has 4 years of control left. Bednar has next year. Dennis Santana has two more years. But it's not just Miller. You had Duran, the Minnesota closer, with 3 years left on his deal, go to Philly for two top 100 prospects, a catcher, Tate, number 56 on MLB's list, and Abel, number 92. He's the starting pitcher that beat Paul Skeens in that complete game loss Skeens had in Philadelphia earlier this year.
Yep.
The Mets got Ryan Helsley from St. Louis. He's on an expiring deal, 21 saves. And New York gave up their 8th and 14th rated prospects for a rental. So it's never been higher. Here's how I would do it. I would cut the baby in half. Yeah. I would take the baby and I would chop it in
Big
half.
Big Solomon over there. Solomon
I have Filippone. A Solomonic approach to this.
Yeah.
Did I say that right?
Sure.
Solomonic? Is that an expression?
Saltalamacchia?
This is what I would do.
Okay.
I would keep Bednar, even though prices have never been higher, and even though intern Jack, who's here today, and you can call him and give us your thoughts at 412-928-9370. Intern Jack said, quote, you'd be incredibly stupid to not trade Bednar and Santana today. So I am incredibly stupid, according to Jack.
Stick to your guns, Jack. He'll respect you more for it.
I would not trade Bednar today.
Okay.
And file that under, I think Ben Cherington is an idiot and incredibly stupid. But I would risk trading Santana, and here's why. He has a 1.36 ERA. He has the second highest WAR of any relief pitcher in all of baseball. The only guy by the fancy WAR stat that takes everything into account who's been a better reliever this year is Duran, who just got traded to the Phillies. Chris, he's never going to be this good again. He's pitched for a bunch of teams, Atlanta, Texas, the Yankees, the Mets. I mean, he was a journeyman until, to Ben Charrington's credit, they resuscitated and salvaged his career last year. So given the price of relief pitchers, man, I think I have to trade him.
Well, your last sentence right there is why I would trade both of them. Given the price of relief pitchers, if you can trade one for a potential King's ransom, why not trade two?
Because I don't think Ben Charrington can fetch King's ransoms.
Well, then we're back to sort of the existential take on this, which is we're really asking
why
two
is he
questions.
Here?
Well, no. With this stuff, we're asking two questions. Would you trade the guy is one, right?
Yes.
And then the sidebar that's actually more relevant, and it's insane that it is, would you let Ben Charrington trade the guy, which the answer is almost every time is no.
That's why I say no for Bednar, but yes for Santana.
I just think you're saying no for Bednar for you're living in reality, which I always like to say you live in the world you want to imagine exists, and I live in reality, and in this case, I am doing the opposite. You are living in reality that Ben Charrington has to make these deals and there's no reason
because
to
trust
him.
Because I think Bednar has a better chance of maintaining his value, and I don't think Santana will. And even though Charrington could easily botch this trade like he does most deals, I just think with Santana, you can't pass this opportunity up. With Bednar, I think it's possible he does maintain his value and someone smarter and shrewder and better at the job can trade him this offseason. Or even next year and get what the Cardinals got back for their closer on a rental. I don't trust Charrington to do it. And that, like, that's a big part of this is how are we in this position where there's reports that continue to creep out that Keller might stay put in part because Bob Nutting doesn't trust Ben Charrington to trade him? How is the owner of the team allowed for this to go on this long? That's hugely problematic.
I've said it's the worst thing Bob Nutting did so far to this team this year is be this indecisive about how he's handling his GM.
And that decision to keep him is potentially, if they don't trade Bednar today, is costing them the quote-unquote King's ransom. Because somebody else could easily get a King's ransom for him today.
God,
it wouldn't be hard.
I think I'm at the point now, though, where
but he's so incompetent,
I know,
Chris.
I understand that. I agree with you. Although we did sort of give him credit yesterday for getting the ninth-ranked prospect in a system in a glorified salary dump. I guess, by the way, the Reds, did you see the little just detail that when they reported the trade, they said they were sending cash considerations back?
Yeah.
Just an interesting little footnote
there. Let me just pick up on what you just said there about that trade for a quick second, and we'll get to calls here, too, at 412-928-9370. I celebrate that trade and that they actually got something for Key Brian Hayes, but that doesn't let Charrington off the hook because of the way Key Brian Hayes failed to develop here. They gave him a $70 million contract thinking he would be one thing.
You would say that they got a surprisingly good return because the player that they traded is somebody they and their development team screwed up.
You know what it reminds me of? Mike Tomlin digging himself out of a hole and going from like 5-8 to 8-8.
No doubt.
You credit him for managing to get back to 500, but why were you in such a lousy position in the first place?
There's no doubt. That's a good analog. That's a good comparison to draw. This is where I'm at, and I can only be an honest broker about my own feelings right now about this and tell you, even if it's contradictory to what I've said in the past, and I don't even remember if I've said something that's directly going to be contradicted here. As much as I think Ben Charrington is an ignoramus who shouldn't be allowed to do any of this and should be on the unemployment line or just headed back to Toronto to be a special assistant, you know, one of those cushy baseball front office jobs.
Yeah.
I feel like the returns out there are good enough that, my God, as bad of a GM as he is, he should still be able to get something really good for both of those guys that you just mentioned. Teams are paying a king's ransom for bullpen arms, elite ones, and Bednar is truly elite. Like, props to him for figuring himself out again. I guess you have to say props to their development team for figuring out what was wrong with him, maybe.
Yep.
Teams are willing to give up a ton, Pony, because they're shortening games and those arms are more valuable in the way baseball is played, especially in the postseason now, than ever before.
412-928-9370. Should the Pirates trade David Bednar in the next 4 hours? Mason Miller from here, one of the best relievers in all of baseball, not having his best year, but still has the best strikeout rate in baseball over the last 2 years, was traded for the number three prospect in all of baseball. Is it time for the Pirates to strike while the iron is hot? 412-928-9370. The only person on the line right now has been labeled guy keeps calling, don't answer. So let's see if we can do better than guy who keeps calling, don't answer, from our listeners. John Heyman is reporting that Spencer Jones, who's hit a bajillion home runs in the minors this year, is only on the table in a David Bednar trade if the Pirates include Paul Skeens. Which prompted Kevin Gorman to say if Spencer Jones isn't the return, the Pirates shouldn't be discussing a David Bednar trade with the Yankees.
Is Arson Judge available?
No, but there is a catcher at AAA who's available named Flores, who has 16 homers and 60 ribbies.
How old
for
is
the
he?
Yankees. He's 24. He's ready to play. He's ready to go. 279, 16, and 60.
Well, the Pirates don't need a catcher. They drafted one 1-1 in 2020.
And don't forget about Joey Bart, who was drafted second.
Who
and
was
don't
supposed
forget
to hit
about
15
Andy
home
Rodriguez
runs this year.
Remember, Andy Rodriguez was the great return they got in the Joe Musgrove trade.
Who's the best catcher currently playing for them right now?
For the Pirates?
Yeah. Is there one?
Henry Davis. Because he receives... Kevin Young was acting like he the greatest defensive catcher of all time. I like Kevin, but KY, come on now. Again. He was waxing poetic.
A bit of tire pumping right there.
I was
that
listening
is unnecessary.
Maybe they're doing that to try to get Henry Davis traded. I don't know. But
are there
my
any
goodness.
Teams in double or triple A that need a catcher?
I'm listening to that, and he's just waxing poetic about his receiving abilities.
Yeah,
it's not Jerry Rice receiving.
No, he's not.
I don't care about him catching the ball.
He's not Pudge Rodriguez back there either.
Pudge Rodriguez would hit 300 with 25 bombs. Here is Allen in Monroeville on the trade deadline. Hello, Allen.
Yeah, hi, guys.
Hey.
I'd like to discuss not a return, but realigning the team. Now, here's my opinion. First of all, I would bring Triola back up because the hot corner is one of the most important places on the team in third base.
Allen, so we're starting this call with you're going to redesign the Pirates by calling up a guy
as
who can't
is,
hit?
Not for return.
Okay.
Just where they are right now.
You got to have something more interesting than we're going to go
wait
back to Jared Triola. I am going to wait a minute, but you're off to a horrible start.
I would get rid of Bednar because he scares the hell out of me every time he comes in.
He literally hasn't given up a run with the lead all year.
I would use Rodriguez for...
You're just going to completely gloss over that point, Allen, and you're just a train that's on a track and you can't stop. The guy has not given up a run or blown a save all year when he has a lead. And he scares you to death?
He's very scary, Bednar. I would not.
Do you know what's scarier to me than David Bednar? Jared Triola with a bat in his hand needing to get a hit.
I'll say it again. When
Triola was a player of the year in the minor leagues.
Who? Triola can't hit major league pitching, Allen.
Love at third base.
So you're more excited about Jared Triola than David Bednar, Allen, is what it sounds like.
Wait a minute. I also would get rid of Kiner Khalifa and let that Peguero play.
Another guy who stinks, and they're going to get rid of IKF because he's on an expiring contract.
Is Kiner Khalifa the child of Ralph Kiner and Sammy Khalifa?
Keep Peguero in it. What's the last
point? And I would use the rookie for a closer.
Who's that?
That's what I would do.
What's the rookie's name?
I forget. It begins with an M. I forget.
Madsen. Thank you, Alan.
I'm sorry.
He's scared to death of a guy who's been automatic.
Pony. What are we doing with the Jared Triola thing here? I can't even get past step
one. What are we doing?
One.
It's one guy. I mean, I don't think any other person who's going to call us over the next 4 hours today is going to begin his call by saying, here's my plan to reshape the Pirates. Let's put Jared Triola back out there.
His glove is not as good as Hayes. His bat is somehow, and this is incredible, worse than Hayes. He's perfect.
Come on. This is a baseball town. We can do better than this.
Kiner Khalifa.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Swing and a miss. He struck him out. Three curveballs, three strikeouts for Bednar in the ninth. Pirates score. They win.
All right, Fan Hotline is presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. You already had one closer from Western PA traded today. That is Bethel Park's Mason Miller to the San Diego Padres for a King's Ransom. Will David Bednar be the next? Malzi says yes, but Malzi's also been trying to trade David Bednar for give or take 3 years. Our producer, Jack, our intern, Jack.
Well, that makes it sound like I hate David Bednar and want him out of town.
I didn't say that. I just said I didn't say it was because it was anything personal. It might be for strictly baseball reasons.
It is strictly baseball reasons.
Intern Jack saying it would be, quote, incredibly stupid to not trade Bednar or Santana.
He's well on his way. He understands the assignment. Have big takes. He's sitting there with a guy, an intern Dom, who has huge takes that are often terrible, but he sticks by them. Which I respect.
I don't understand why intern Dom has to catch a stray here. We're not even part of the conversation yet. You just wanted to let the record show that you think he has horrible opinions.
Have a big take and stick by it. It's a good thing in this business. It's a compliment.
Yeah, but the way you said that about Dom did not come off as a compliment. You sounded like you were insulting his intelligence as a person in the process.
Wrong.
All right.
No. I mean, but I'm also kind of feeling myself a little bit today. During the break, I mean, I said that I felt most of my takes were very accurate.
Yes, you missed that, Dom. Mueller said, lately, all my takes are right.
I don't know about that.
For self-loathing Mulsey, this is a big admission.
Here is Josh in Pittsburgh on the deadline now, 3.5 hours away. Hello, Josh. Josh? Goodbye, Josh. Connor is next. Hello, Connor.
Hey, Tony. How's it going?
Hey, man.
So, I'm
going to put you back on hold, and we'll see if
we're trying
to
figure out your phone
service fix.
He's out there in Mars. Things could be a little spotty on 228.
You're in Bednar country.
Yeah, you are in
Bednar
country.
Your thoughts on things. We'll get right back to you in a minute. Let's go to Matt next. Hello, Matt.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Hey.
What's up?
So I have a little bit of a different take on this. Hear me out. So only the Pirates going to be in this position where they have something that's desirable out in the trade market, but the people on the other end almost, in my opinion, are controlling the cards and have Charrington by the you-know-whats. Because every minute that's going by, the Paul Skeens clock on the other end is ticking, and all these other GMs can just say back to Charrington, hey, you can take whatever scraps I'm going to give you because those two points are running together and going to meet in the middle at some point in the very near future, and I'm not going to give you what all these other teams are getting because they know there's a finite expiration date on when he has to fix this team. And he's just an idiot anyway. And overall, this team needs to be renamed into the Plywood Company instead of the Lumber Company.
All right. Thank you, Matt.
I don't think other teams who are trying to win this year are going to put Ben Charrington over the barrel that Matt is describing there. They're trying to augment their teams now, regardless of what the Paul Skeens clock is doing.
I don't think the Paul Skeens clock has much to do with Bednar and
I don't think it has anything really
and
to do
Santana.
With it.
The only thing it would have to do with it is the Pirates' desire to get back players who are going to be a part of teams with Paul Skeens on it. That's it. That's the only thing that has those two things intertwined, in my opinion.
Yeah, that's correct.
But they've shown in the trades that you can get those guys. Abel's pitched in the majors this year. Tate is younger, but again, like, not every one of these deals
is for a high A ball or a double A guy.
I mean, the one with the A's and Padres was because the Padres' best prospect happened to be a guy who's only 18 years old. It's if their best prospect was a 21-year-old, I bet they still would have traded him for
Miller.
He's
one of the best prospects that's ever been traded in recent deadline history. Here's like a question I would ask anybody that's on the line. We got loaded lines that I would like to just put to you. I give you two sort of binary situations here that could arise in the next 3.5 hours. One, which one would you be happier with? One, Ben Charrington deals at least two of the three that we've talked about, Keller, Santana, Bednar, although the Keller calls really do seem to be completely drying up. And you roll the dice that he'll actually get a decent return. Or Charrington stands pat more or less because he's told he has to stand pat because the Pirates, even though they employ him, don't really trust him anymore and are just going to try to hold back and go back into next year with a loaded back end of the bullpen, et cetera. Which would you rather have?
Well, before you said that last point, I would say that one. But you made it sound like it's contingent on them keeping Bednar and Santana on
the
roster.
Okay, fine. Or then, you know what, finer point detail, I can go into this. Or they fire Ben Charrington in the offseason.
And somebody else does it?
And somebody else makes the trades when you're not positive that you'll have the same urgency-created leverage that you have right now and therefore might not get the same kind of return.
You wouldn't.
Especially not on the relievers, because this is when people go crazy
for relievers.
You wouldn't.
I mean, but I would I would trust the guy with a who I don't know with a clean slate.
Fine. That's fine. I don't
more
ask
to find,
it,
even if they weren't ranked as highly.
I don't ask it to be so much
to develop
argumentative
the guys too.
As I ask it to try to get a feel for truly where our fans' heads are at on this, because I really do think that is the fundamental question. Do you trust the guy that no one likes or thinks should be employed to do this anyway? Because my God, look at what Mason Miller fetched. Or do you want somebody else, hopefully, that's assuming Bob Nutting does fire Ben Cherington in the offseason, to have this job put on their plate when the return is almost certainly going to be less than it would be in theory right now?
Jim is on the air. Hello, Jim.
Hello, guys.
Hey.
Listen, Ben Cherington should not make any trades of anybody with team control. Let him trade all the expiring contract players he wants. But nobody should be traded, and I include Key Bryan in this. Think about this. The Key Bryan trade was supposed to be – all of Ben's trades this year are supposed to be to help 2026. Getting rid of Key Bryan Hayes, leave him aside of his value, it doesn't help the Pirates in 2026. Ben Cherington needs to go, not needs to give away whatever assets we have now and get some kind of paltry return, because almost none of the trades he has made have worked out.
But I would say of the Hayes trade, they got better because someone not named Ke'Bryan Hayes will play third base for them next year.
That's why I said leave him out, right? Because I agree with you on him.
Okay.
But the whole thing is Cherington shouldn't be making anything, any kind of permanent deal.
I gotcha. I mean, I just disagree on Santana because I think there's a chance if he pitches another 2 months, he comes back down to earth and then you just have a guy. He's literally the second best relief pitcher in all of baseball by WAR, and he's the best setup man in the league this year.
I mean, I think there's a case to be made, though, that Bednar right this second, like a FIP, which is 196, which just means he's doing a ridiculous job of limiting homers, limiting walks, and striking people out. That's basically what I'm describing there.
Okay.
I don't even know if you can say Bednar is going to ever be this good again. Those numbers, like a lot of his peripheral numbers that you would use
to judge.
But
he's been an all-star before, Chris. He's had other good seasons. Santana really hasn't.
Santana has been good since he got to the Pirates, to their credit. But
so that's about a full season of
just
baseball.
Because Bednar's been an all-star before doesn't mean he still might not be at apex value, because your value is also your value is also a function of what the market is willing to pay for your services.
I know, he probably is at apex
that's
value,
why I've
but
gotta make
I
the
don't
deal.
Think Cherington can extract that.
I don't feel comfortable saying what I'm saying, but that's why I've got to roll the dice. Because that's where my gut tells me to go.
And you trust your gut?
Gutty has always been my North Star.
Here is Troy in Mount Washington, a fan loyal listener. Hello, Troy.
Guys, what's going on?
Hey, man.
So I'm way more willing to give Santana up than I am to give Bednar. And I'm going to tell you why we need to keep Bednar. And I'm not going to beat a dead horse and keep talking about because we don't trust Cherington. No one in the world trusts that man. So leave that out of it. So the best time to trade him was about almost a year and a half, 2 years ago. So you keep the guy because you believe in him when he's actually very unstable. And when he finally gets stable for you and shows that he can be what you thought he was, which is why you kept him, now you want to get rid of him. It just seems like a Pirates thing to do and not what Paul Skeens was asking for. I think if you're crafting the best team for Paul Skeens to have over the next couple years, David Bednar is a top three guy when you're putting that together. I know we're talking about hitting, but David Bednar, Triola guy earlier, how you told him what Bednar's been doing this year, he's finally showed you that you want to have a guy like that on your team. Not to mention, if you're going to get another closer, you ain't going to – imagine if Bednar continues this. We're going to give him a hometown discount, yet one of the best closers in the entire league – for cheap. It's a win-win. You cannot get rid of this guy. Santana will pull what you need. Maybe not as much. You'll probably have to put another player with him, but outside of that, man,
do you think they're a good team, the Pirates?
I think they're better with Bednar.
Okay, I didn't ask that, though. Do you think they're a good team?
Yes. I think they're a good team because you have to balance out.
You think they're a good team, Troy? They're the worst hitting team in the entire league.
Okay, how are they in pitching?
They're 15 games under 500.
Troy, at the risk of
question,
at the risk, Troy, of at the risk of trying to hold on.
They're above average.
Troy, at the risk of trying to read Pony's mind here, I'm pretty sure he asked you if you thought they were a good team for this reason. A great closer only really matters on a good team.
Bingo. Chris is right.
No, I look at a good team when you're saying good team, and I think of it as like when you're selling a used car and you put the condition in. It's good. It's a middle-of-the-pack team because if you have a high end on pitching but a low end on hitting, you're kind of right in the middle.
Well, now we've gone from good to middle of the pack, but their record is 47-62, and that's with an 8 out of 9 heater they're on.
And you would also have to say that the managing in the front office has more to do with this franchise losing than mostly any other franchise in baseball.
Is that going to change anytime soon, Troy?
Do we think Sherrington's going to be here more than a year? You don't. I don't.
Right. I agree with that.
Is that not moving forward?
I would hope it's moving forward, but you might be stocking the cupboard better for whoever comes after Sherrington by trading these guys.
I just can't argue keeping him on the grounds of a closer is really important when you're not that good of a team.
I would honestly, we've been just infatuated with players that we haven't seen much from, and I think that's who they'll get. I'd be more willing, I know this isn't something, but just saying, I'd be more willing to give up Bubba Chandler than I would to give up.
My God!
Troy, that's lunacy, man.
And I haven't seen Chandler pitch here either, but a starting pitcher who projects as a top 2 or 3 guy in your rotation is so much more valuable than a closer.
Troy's
only
a very loyal listener.
Only has 1 year left on his deal, by the way. Troy said he thinks the guy's going to sign an extension here.
I doubt that.
I'm not sure about that.
Troy is a very loyal listener. We like Troy, but that just, I'm sorry. I refuse to believe that any of the pro David Bednar stuff there is not colored by the fact that he's from Mars.
I wish he was still on the line. We could have asked him that. If Bednar wants to keep playing here and is willing to take a hometown discount and the organization loves him, then why not get him to sign a new deal and not trade him?
Sure. Shouldn't they be talking about that right now? Hey, David, let's talk extension.
If both sides want it, follow.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
All right, one little nugget here to pass along. I wish I had teased this, but it just got put on my radar. The Texas Rangers have inquired about Andrew McCutchen. But my guess is they were probably told Andrew McCutchen is unavailable. Because Andrew McCutchen doesn't want to play baseball outside of Pittsburgh.
I was just going to say, I think Andrew McCutchen might have just reached out to the Texas Rangers himself and said,
Chris
nah,
Young
I'm good.
Is the GM there?
Harvard, or was he Princeton?
Princeton played basketball.
6'10". Did not throw hard for being 6'10".
He is the best of both worlds. He's got the dork and the Ivy League diploma, but he also was a big leaguer.
The Pirates had a dork from Princeton who was also a big leaguer, Ross Ohlendorf.
Jason Mackey went to Westminster, which is...
It's the Ivy League of, what is that, the President's Athletic? No.
No, that would be...
Yeah, it's the PAC.
Yeah,
the PAC?
But Washington and Jefferson...
Ivy League of the PAC, baby.
Washington and Jefferson would be the Princeton of the PAC, right?
Well, I know multiple people who would text me right now and say, you're damn right we were the Princeton of the PAC. What is Teal in the PAC?
That's like the Dartmouth.
No, Teal's more... No, Teal's not that. They were getting beat 63-0 when I was a kid in games. They're the doormat of the PAC.
Jason, would you back that up? You don't think Andrew McCutchen wants to leave here, so that's going to shoot down all.
That's a real
there.
Quick end of discussion, like Chris said.
If that just a hypothetical, and you don't have to spend a ton of time on this, if he was having a monster season, like truly absurd, what the hell's going on? He was hitting 320, had 23 home runs, and they were still this bad, okay? And he was like one of the hottest players in baseball as far as like value. Would the Pirates just respect his wishes and be like, no, man, we won't trade you. Like, you're doing nothing functional for us, but we won't trade you because you don't want to go anywhere?
I think they would have a conversation with him, Chris. I think they'd bring it to his attention.
Okay.
Like, the Texas Rangers isn't going to move that needle.
Yeah,
you know,
okay.
If he's having a really good year and the Dodgers want him, I don't know why that would happen.
It was a silly hypothetical, but I was curious how deep the respect for him went internally
on
that front.
It would, It would take it to Andrew, and I think it ends really quickly unless it's a very small group of teams. And even then, I don't think I don't know, but I would doubt that Kutch won.
Jason, how has the Mason Miller trade today and the other reliever trades affected your thoughts on what's going to happen with David Bednar in the next few hours?
Yeah, my thinking has changed on that, guys. That market seems fertile. They seem interested in it. I know they're fully engaged in the Bednar stuff. I can back that up. I know a bunch of the national guys are discussing that. I don't know if it happens. I mean, they're not going to get Spencer Jones back. They're not going to get George Lombard Jr. back, I wouldn't think. You know, whether that – the catcher here, I just was looking
Flores.
At his page, Rafael Flores. You know, that might be the ticket to get it done. Maybe the Pirates hold out for Flores. I don't think that's a terrible deal. But yeah, it's the Phillies were after them yesterday. The Yankees are after them today. The Rangers are in on it. There are other teams. It's a very active market. So
what an admission that would be if they traded for a catcher though at AAA, given Henry Davis going 1-1, Joey Bart last year, and how they felt about Andy Rodriguez a year ago.
Would they be wrong though? I mean, do they have a long-term solution behind the plate? I don't
think
they do.
No, but think about all the resources they've thrown at it.
That's what Pony's saying. They've had all these resources devoted to it, and they have just struck out miserably, literally and figuratively, so far at finding a true long-term guy there.
And that's why the GM shouldn't be here. And that's why I still don't think the GM will be here. But I think you have to take advantage of the market. At least with Flores, he also plays first base.
Yeah.
And that's probably a further indictment of Charrington, because Spencer Horwitz hasn't been a long-term solution either. But I, if you've got a chance to get a bat and you have an opportunity, I don't know how you don't do it here.
Internal, like, take people through this. We know that the scouting director runs the draft, Jason, but on the inside, yep. Like, how much is Ben Charrington or any GM leaning on their pro scouts in terms of prospect rankings? And they all know what they want to address, what positions they need. How much say-so does the GM delegate to his people to say, no, this is the guy we really want versus the GM just making all those calls on his own?
Yeah, so the GM will basically tell a type of player to the group.
Like
the Pirates, right, they're targeting.
So Charrington just every time says, I'd like a middle infielder with some projectable skills, but who will probably never hit above 240 in the majors. Okay.
Yeah, that's not the intent behind what they're doing. That's the result behind what they do.
Sure. But so, okay, he'll tell them like what he wants,
yeah,
basically.
Yeah, you're looking at guys who can add offense, who might be blocked in another organization at a position of need, and guys closer to the major leagues. And does that align with what they're peddling? So in this case, like Flores is a good comp that might align with what they're selling, an interested team, whatever. So, I mean, you're basically looking at all other organizations, you know, members of the director of the scouting department who are paid to do this, and you will have names and they'll talk about deals and, you know, you're prepared with a list of players that would fit your mold for each organization when you engage in that conversation. It's ultimately Charrington's responsibility to make that call. I would say it's a little different than the draft, where the director of amateur scouting is basically making a recommendation on a pick to Ben.
Last time this came up, Noah Hyles said Bob Nutting blocked David Bednar trade. Do you think he'd get involved in this again?
I think it depends on the return. To answer your question, Andrew, yes, I think he will get involved. I'm not saying he's going to block it again. I think what Nutting is looking at with Charrington here is whether this deal makes sense for the Pirates. And I think it really has to pass muster. I've said with you before, I don't think that Ben Charrington's just going to be allowed to do whatever the heck he wants at this deadline. I think he's going to have to make a really strong case for trading someone like David Bednar. And I don't know if what they do is going to get above that line.
It has happened.
Nutting,
it's done. This is the second time in a row. Play the sounder, Austin, please.
Austin, that's Dom.
Dom, sorry.
Who's on the move? Another major league trade presented by Globe Airport Parking.
Yesterday, it was Matt Clement who was in this situation when the Key Brian Hayes trade happened.
Now it's you.
David Bednar to the Yankees.
Yep.
Deal pending medical review. Rosenthal's got it, as well as Passan. It's out there.
So here's the question. If it's for Flores, does that make up for Aiyuk?
For you?
Yeah, because I was the first person who said Flores for Bednar.
Did you say this deal was rounding third and headed for home?
No, I didn't go that far. But
did you say Rafael Flores will be a Pittsburgh Pirate?
No. So I guess you're saying it's not.
Yeah,
why can't you just say no instead of having me relive my nightmare from last year, you jerk?
We're not putting the toothpaste back in that tube, my friend.
Yeah.
Well, okay, so Jason, like, I guess now that we wait on the return here and what exactly the details are going to be, you know, if anything, beyond Flores.
They don't have great prospects, the Yankees.
Right, so I was going to ask you, though, like, it's weird that Bob would get involved because he kind of makes it public. I'm not the baseball guy. I try to let my people do their thing. And what that would have led me to believe is he's considering, like, the value from an attraction or a draw standpoint that David Bednar would bring his franchise. That was why I kind of scrunched my face up when you started to answer that way.
No, I don't think that's as much of a consideration, Chris. And I don't even know if it should be. Like, they need to have requisite value coming back. And we're looking at the return on the Bednar thing. We don't know what it's going to be. I really hope it's at least Flores. I mean, I don't think they're going to get
Lombard. He's the eighth-rated prospect. They got to get more than just him.
They're not going to.
Well, Helsley went yesterday on an expiring deal, and the Cardinals got the Mets 8th and 14th. You've got a year and a half of Bednar. Bednar's been better than Helsley.
I understand that. But look at what they're shopping for, man. They need offense. The Yankees' best two hitters are Lombard Jr. and Jones.
And they're not trading those guys.
Trading those guys. And then your third one's Flores. So, I mean, if you have to make this trade, boy, what I would hope it's Flores. And if it's not, I'm going to be starting to call him Crushing Charrington because that's ridiculous.
And also, of those two best hitters, only Lombard's even in the top 100 on MLB.com's pipeline list, I believe. I was scrolling down through it.
You don't have to trade Bednar. You don't have to do this. I understand the argument for it, and you guys probably agree with trading him. But
I did not. I said before the show, I said at the beginning of the show I would not trade Bednar. I cut the baby in half and said I would have done Santana.
He was doing Solomonic takes here. Jason, let me ask you this. Who you agree with more? Because this is basically, he said he'd split the baby, keep Bednar, trade Santana. My overall take, which now is aging right now, just in real time, because they did trade Bednar, was that I would deal all three of their assets. I know they're not going to deal Keller. But it was basically, I would rather roll the dice that even somebody as bad as Ben Charrington at his job in this fertile market can correctly execute these deals versus wait for potential value cratering and the uncertainty of an off-season trade performed by a new GM. Where would you have come down evaluating those two kinds of options?
I'd probably go with the more conservative approach, Chris, and here's why. Okay.
That's what I said.
Because they're still, I mean, as failed as this might sound, and I'm going to try to explain this in a succinct way, they still think they can win in 2026, which is a very hard thing to explain because you just traded away your two-time All-Star closer. Now, they're going to look at it. His ARB number is going to go up to like $9 million. Are they better off spending $9 million on offense or a closer where they could, you know, theoretically backfill that with Isaac Mattson, Dennis Santana, Braxton Ashcraft, whatever.
Majinski. Yep.
Yeah. I kind of see that line of thinking. It depends on return for me. If they got crap return, then I don't agree with making this deal. If they got, you know, one of the Yankees' better prospects, certainly the top two, but I'd settle for Rafael Flores, then I understand the logic.
Let's get into Bednar and what happened here a little bit, because it was reported by Zangrilli and John Parado that Bednar really soaked up the moment Saturday when he got his 100th save at PNC Park. And both of those guys...
Andrew,
yes.
Let me cut you off. I just got a message that Flores is believed to be a part of it.
There you
go. We're reporting more live stuff here, but yeah.
Play the sounder again. Play that sounder again now that Jason's reporting that Flores is part of the deal, Dom.
Who's on the move? Another major league trade presented by Globe Airport Parking.
And it's apparently, according to Jason Mackey, Jason, I'm not doing this to hang you out to dry. You just said it. I'm just making sure you get proper credit. Rafael Flores is part of the David Bednar deal, reported right here by Jason Mackey, who is on the line multitasking very impressively.
Thank God for iMessage, huh?
You know what's really funny about this for a second? Can I just do this for like one quick second, guys?
Oh, yes.
So I tweeted out today, report, the Yankees and Pirates have discussed the David Bednar trade.
Please.
Name to watch, Yankees catcher prospect Rafael Flores, New York's eighth-ranked prospect, is, you know, the guy, ready to play now. And Cody Duncan says, not happening.
He already deleted that. Our YouTube commenter said he deleted it immediately. Boy.
Good job, Andrew.
Let's go.
For a tennis coach, Cody makes a lot of unforced errors.
Anyways, now that I've got that self-indulgent thing out of the way. So we went over what happened with Bednar on Saturday. Those guys felt like he was acting like a dude who had pitched his final game at PNC Park and wanted to soak it all in. You're familiar with David. You know him well, his family. Do you feel like there was any resentment or anger over how the organization made him go down to AAA and reinvent himself? Because they basically made up something for Holderman, and they didn't do that for him. They said, you're not good enough right now. Go figure it out in Indy, Jason.
I don't think so. Maybe at the time. I think when he looks back on it, I don't know David or his parents or his brother or anybody associated. And like, I know them pretty well. They're not the kind to harbor a grudge. They're tremendously positive people. I know at the time he was upset about it. I'm not breaking any news by saying that, but it was the best thing for him. He figured it out. Look at where he's gone
did
now.
Did they help him figure it out, or was it Bednar just like working almost on his own?
No, I think they did.
Like, so there was somebody in the organization who actually did do work with him. It wasn't just go and get your confidence. He actually had some help internally that got him back on track. Okay.
Yeah, like Jeremy Bleich is a guy, one of their pitching guys who floats between the minor leagues and the pro team, and he's very good. He's very good at his job. And hey, we can rip the Pirates about a lot of things. They've actually helped pitchers figure it out. So, and I think they did help David, and a lot of it's on David too.
So what now do you expect? Even you said fertile ground for relievers, and you expecting?
I think Santana's going to go
too.
Jason.
I was just going to say, do you think Santana's gone too?
I mean, it depends on what the price is. If you're dangling Bednar, why aren't you dangling Santana? I get that. Now they're different players because Santana is going to be what, ARB 2 next year. He's still going to be relatively cheap, where Bednar was going to be, you know, $9-10 million. So.
But he's never, ever been this good before. He's never, ever, ever been this good.
Who, Santana?
Santana, yes.
I know, but you need to keep somebody back there. You're not going to turn everything over and try to sell to your fans that you're going to be a better team. Like, you can sell to your team, look, Dennis Santana's been really good. He does the same job for cheaper. We had a market for David Bednar, et cetera. We have a bunch of young relievers. But, like, you can't just turn it over to all the young guys and say, hey, we're going to be better next year.
John Heyman,
by the way, we're going to be better.
John Heyman, who thought Aaron Judge or Arson Judge was going to San Francisco, so take this maybe with a grain of salt, says two others are going to the Pirates with Flores in this deal. So it's a 3-for-1. But Flores is, as I had heard this morning, the guy that they were most interested in. So
yeah.
Pony, I think you clawed back a little bit of the Aiyuk stuff. I think a little.
Thank
the
you, Malzie.
It's like it was 3rd and 32, and you got a nice 17-yard gain.
So we're gonna go for it on fourth down. Should I keep putting stuff out there?
Don't. Yeah. Still kick it, but win the field position.
It's 4th and 15. It's 4th and 15, and you've got to decide to live in your fears or to try to pin them deep.
Yeah. All right, Jason. Last one here. You don't think Keller's getting traded today? You think that's completely now off the board?
I'm not going to say completely. I've learned enough to not put that out there, but it's the chances are low. That's my read on it.
How long did their stance and posture on this ever change? Was it always going to take a ridiculous ask or a ridiculous offer by another team? Like, I felt like he was good as gone maybe 2 weeks ago, and it just feels like this has done a 180, man.
Well, Jason never felt that way, though.
I'm saying I never personally did, not you. I personally got the sense they were going to move him, and then in the last, like, 48 hours, it was like, hell no, he's not going anywhere.
Let me try to translate that, Chris. I've never wavered, no. I never thought they were going to move Keller because it's a better deal to make in the offseason, especially if you have a new GM. The other thing is, anytime you're going to sell one of these guys to try to get Major League offense, especially Keller, those teams aren't giving up offense right now. Like, they need an established Major League hitter for Mitch Keller because he's their biggest piece. They don't need it right now. They need it for next season. So it's better to open up that market to all teams, and it's better to... frankly, have a GM who's going to be here try to make that decision. Now, if you're going to capitalize on a giant market with Bednar, relievers are fickle. I get all that. But I never saw this deal making sense for them, for Charrington to make. This is the exact deal that he screwed up time after time.
Jason Mackey, everybody. We'll look forward to reading your column on it, Jason. Thank you.
All right, guys. Have a good one.
All right. So it's official. Well, not official from the teams, but it's all over rampant now. Every insider. David Bednar to the Yankees for catcher Rafael Flores, AAA, and two more minor leaguers going back to New York in this deal. Or going back to Pittsburgh in this deal, excuse me. We'll find out who those guys are.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.